Okay.
Okay, Ms. Bess?
Yes, sir?
I am going to be turning the panel over to Mr. David Neal, who will be handling your hearing. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
All right. We've been having a lot of technical difficulties for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I see that, but I believe it will be okay.
Well, this, with a speakerphone, it gets really weird because it depends on the position in the boardroom as to how much echo you get with the microphone. So I'm close, so hopefully this will work okay.
Well, let's hope it does.
Okay, can you state your complete name and ABC number, please?
My full name is Annette. Middle name is Christine. Last name is Beth. Guilty number is 1747-83.
Thank you, ma'am. We're appearing for you as on the Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time.
Okay.
The Honorable Mr. Johnson, my name is David Neal Robby, or hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
Yes, sir.
Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Okay, do you remember that form?
I do, sir.
All right. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do, sir.
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
I understand.
Okay, phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the three allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. If you think it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Westby, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
I understand. Yes, sir.
All right. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about August 29, 2017, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated September 1, 2017. Is that true or false?
That is true, sir.
All right, thank you. Allegation number two is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about September 22nd, 2017, per the TASC Individual Testing Compliance Summary dated October 30th, 2017. Is that true or false, ma'am?
Yes, sir, that's true.
All right, allegation number three is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Vivre, 7113 North 66th Drive in Glendale, Arizona, on or about October 25th, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Is that true or false, ma'am?
That is also true, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so based on the admissions of Ms. Bess, I am going to move that she was delinquent, as she violated terms and conditions of her supervision, and that she may have lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or a company.
Second.
Okay, motion by myself, Mr. Neal, and seconded by Mr. Johnson. Okay, ma'am, we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but first, we'd like to get some background information from Mr. Westby, so stay on the phone and I'll get right back with you.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Westby.
On August 24th, 2017, Ms. Bess was released from the Department of Corrections. She was arrested April 3rd, 2018 by ABC staff. There were no new charges. She was back to OC custody April 3rd, 2018, with an adjusted CCD of August 31st, 2018, which reflects 160 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, organized retail theft, 2.5 years. 2016, marijuana violation, 1 year. She has prior convictions in 2003, criminal possession of a forgery device, 6 months. 2007, resisting arrest, 1 year. 2012, shoplifting, 1.5 years. This is her fourth term in the Arizona Department of Corrections. Her CUIO score is 2-1, mental health score is 3 with SMI noted, substance abuse score is a 3. There is no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2003, TIS release of standards, 727 days, reached CCD prior to seeing the VOEC. 2007, TIS release of standard, 31 days, arrested on misdemeanor shoplifting. Participatory violations are minimal with indecent exposure noted. Other arrests, 1999, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, felony conviction probation. 2008, assault, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction probation. The community risk score is a G3B4.
Thanks, sir. Okay, I'm going over a summary of your case supervision at this time. So August 24, 2017, that's when you got out and you approved to reside at Vivray at 7113 North 66 Drive in Glendale, Arizona. So where did you go when you absconded from there, ma'am?
When I had left from Vivray, I was tripping on the streets for about a week and a half. And I knew immediately that I had made a mistake. I did a lot of preparation prior to me leaving Department of Corrections, completing WTU and things of that nature, and just trying to change. And so I got, luckily, I got to a place in my life where I just knew that I could no longer tolerate that kind of living. The kind of people, the areas, none of that. And so I went home to my mother, and I kind of I connected with my family and began to take care of my mother, and which gave me purpose. I've always been a patient care technician or a CNA, and I hadn't done that for a long time. I lost my family privileges with having a felony, but I began to take care of my mother, and my family was pleased of it being the youngest of 9. So that's where I went, and I slipped, but luckily with the help of my family and my mental health case provider, my case manager, we realized that I needed to do something to, began to turn myself around and get myself together at mom's house. And I realized that in order for me to, be the person that I needed to be for my family, that we decided that it was best that I go ahead and turn myself in. So I had been in compliance with my mental health provider, which is Southwest Behavioral Health. Up until the day that I turned myself in, they took me first to Community Bridges, and I started to detox from alcohol. I was admitted into the detox unit. I was there from the 27th to the 1st, and then another additional 2 days I was there in the crisis center. During that time, my case manager at Southwest Behavioral Health, my SMI caseworker, they were notified that, in fact, I needed some support. I contacted them along with the peer support specialist at CBI. They came to pick me up on the 3rd, and I turned myself in knowing that it was the best thing I needed to do so that I can go ahead and get out and press forward and move on with my life.
Okay, so your mother lives in the valley here?
My mother lives on Hardy and Bayside in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay.
Along with my rest of my family. I'm the youngest of 9.
Okay. Yeah, and you didn't leave the state to take care of her. You were still here.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was still here.
Okay. So during your abscond time, did you do any drugs or was it just alcohol?
Drugs have never been drugs have never been my thing. Alcohol has always been something that I struggled with for quite some time. And it just wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be as far as getting out and living life on life's terms. I was kind of overwhelmed with trying to transition back into the lives of my family and my daughter and things of that nature. But one thing that I knew that I needed to do was continue to just reach out to my life support, and that's my mental health provider. Even though I was not in touch with my parole officer, one thing that I was in compliance with was with my case manager. Every month I visited her, and she came to my mother's home several different times.
So did she know that you were absconding?
Yeah, absolutely she knew. I talked to her quite often. She would call the house and check up on me. And she told me that my parole officer, in fact, called her and let her know that she was looking for me. They advocate for me. And the only thing that she could do was try to get me to a place where I was okay with understanding that it was necessary. Not that I didn't know that it wasn't necessary. I knew. It's different from having a mom and then realizing the needs that your mother has. And in order for me to be there to meet my mother's needs and have a life that's fulfilling, I had to get this, over me. And the only way that I could do that and continue on is to turn myself in.
With your mental health, are you on any kind of medication for that?
I'm not, because it is a non-specific diagnosis. It's not a specific diagnosis. It's not bipolar. It's not schizophrenia. I believe that it was when I was diagnosed with doing SMI. It was my daughter had passed away in 2001. The house burnt down, and I sought help because I was having a very difficult time dealing with it, and at that time I was diagnosed with SMI. Do I believe that it was conditional? I don't know. I know that I was diagnosed with being SMI, and that I 100%, whether in my state of alcoholism or whatever the case may be, I know that they're there for me, I know that they advocate for me, and I know that I can talk to them.
Okay.
And just, and so that's what I did the whole entire time that I was out. Stayed in contact with them. They picked me up from CBI, they took me to my parole office, and they stayed with me in the lot.
Have you been in contact with them since you've been reincarcerated?
They picked me up from CBI, from Community Bridges on the 3rd, and they took me to my parole office.
I know, but what I mean is since you're back in.
They're aware that I'm here. They're aware that I'm here.
And so when you do get out, whether the board sees fit to release you or whether you finish your term, they're going to be there for you to help you.
Absolutely, 100%. In fact, while I was in Community Bridges, an opportunity that came up, there's a thing called the STAR program, and it's for individuals like myself that needs extensive counseling for catastrophic events that have taken place in their lives. And I had an opportunity to get this counseling. That message was related to me by my mother while I was at, in the detox unit. I was able to contact this woman, and I was offered counseling, and I told her that the reason why I'm here at Community Bridges is to detox and to get back to prison so that I can get this taken care of. And she said, well, as soon as you get out, the counseling is still available to me. So, all she has to do, or all I have to do is allow my case manager to know that she needs to put another referral in so that I can seek the counseling that I so readily need.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Yes, sir.
Okay, no question, no more information from Mr. Rusty. Okay, now, we're nearing the end of your hearing at this time. The board will end the discussion in a couple of moments to make a decision. So before we do it, I'd give you an opportunity to make a final statement, give us any other information you think might be pertinent to our decision. But we ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us.
Okay, sir. The only thing that I can continue to say, would want to say is that I did something that was completely amazing that I didn't think that I could do, and that was make a very sound decision and a choice to do what I did, and that was to seek the treatment that I needed prior to coming in here and then turning myself in. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you, ma'am. The board's going to go into discussion, and we'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a decision.
Yes, sir.
So we ask that you stay on the phone, and you can listen to the entire conversation, and when we're finished, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board is now in discussion. This is an unfortunate situation, and it sounds like Ms. Bess has had some severe trauma in her life recently, and I actually would like to offer the condolences of the board over the loss of your daughter. That is a very traumatic situation for any parent. It also seems like she's finally turned that corner to decide that she needs to straighten out her life and do things the right way so she can help her mother, help herself, help her family. But 160 days of downtime is something I just really can't overlook. So I'm inclined to think that she would be best to seek any kind of program that she can while she's here, but put together a really good, strong, solid plan for her treatment and her behavior when she leaves DOC so that she can be successful, so that she can continue her life without getting in trouble with the law anymore. No, I'm not willing to listen to any discussion.
I agree.
Okay, thanks, sir. Okay, well, based on all the information in warrant number 2017-W3676, the testimony of Ms. Beth and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Ms. Bess at this time, as she was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, or was about to lapse, with a criminal raise or company, and very specifically the 160 abscond days, when there really is no way of telling exactly what she was doing. And that is my motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Neal, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Okay, Ms. Bess, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. It's not a negative, but with your abscond time, I guess you might call it a price to pay. But it does sound like you've made up your mind that you want to return to society and be productive, take care of yourself so you can take care of others.
Absolutely.
And that's very commendable. You should be released, or you're supposed to be released August 31st of 2018, which really isn't that far away.
No, sir, it's not.
The year is slipping by. We do want to wish you the best of luck. Put together a plan so you know exactly what you're going to be doing when you get out, so that you don't have to go out there and grope around. It sounds like you pretty well got it figured out, but make sure it's all in place, so that you can be productive and take care of yourself. And you have to take care of yourself first, so you take care of others.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I thank you guys for listening to me, and I hope it wasn't too trying with all of us, but you guys have a good day.
All right, well, you too, and we do wish you luck. And please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.